What's going on, all you podcasters? Stone Cold Steve Austin coming at you, reminding you to check out this kick-ass event going down Friday, March the 16th. For those of you who don't know off the top of your head, that's 316. Some numbers that mean a whole damn lot to Stone Cold Steve Austin. What we got going on is the Four Heads Brewery is going to be presenting Citywide Sounds Rock Paper Podcast Edition, and it's going down at the Old Rock House. Right there, you're going to see the Hillary Fitz Band. What? The Cara Louise Band. What? And Nick Gussman. They're going to be performing. Tickets are only $7, and $1 each of those tickets are going to the Citywide Charities. So get off your asses Friday night if you ain't doing nothing and head down to the Old Rock House for some kick-ass rock and roll and little rock paper podcast hosted by my buddy Shane Presley. And that's the bottom line, because I said so.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide, where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out FreddieDeAngelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, FreddieDeAngelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi! We're Hard Loss.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Hard Loss.
Hey!
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. You guys want to...
This is already off to a good start.
Pardon the drum.
Yeah. We just shotgunned some beers.
Yeah.
With our host.
Yep.
Feeling good.
Hey, it's a celebration. You know, we got a lot to talk about today. We got a brand new EP. We got a big release party.
Yeah.
Seriously. This is crazy stuff happening, but I guess before we get going too far, you guys want to say hey and introduce yourselves for those listening?
Start with John over there.
Hi, my name is Adam. I like the party.
I'm Devin.
I'm Chad.
I'm Tyler, and I like to party.
No, you don't like the party.
No, for a fact you don't party.
I party.
Such a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys, we got the record is due out Friday, and big release party Saturday night at Del Mar Hall, March 10th.
Yeah.
So grab them tickets today. It just seemed like this has all been a whirlwind like the past couple weeks. I mean, you guys went and recorded this record. Record's coming out. Party's coming, you know, like... I mean, it's just been bam, bam, bam. You guys have been hit the ground running.
We move very fast.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
Everything about this band from conception is just... Everybody just kind of backs it and believes in it, which is awesome because we come up with an idea, and I guess for some weird reason, all five of us, for the first time any band I've ever been with, it agrees without much, like, you know, arguing. There is some from time to time, but for the most part, it's pretty straightforward. But it's like... You know, when we started the band, we're like, we're going to start this band. And, you know, we opened beers and drank them. And then we're like, and I was like, we should call it Hard Loss. And then everyone's like, tight. And there was no like, no, we should also call it this.
And then it's like, when are we practicing? It's like,
tomorrow.
It's like, I don't know, tomorrow. Okay, yeah, I'm good for it. And we're like, oh, I guess we're practicing. And basically, we can put it this way. We had our first promo pictures taken before we had a song written.
Yeah, before we even practiced.
We had a show booked before we even had a set list.
We played a show before we were even a band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like,
and we announced the EP release party, because you got to promote it. before it was even written. Fully.
We've been lighting a fire under our asses the entire time because we're just having fun. Like, we're all stoked on what we do.
Yeah, you gotta push. You gotta get deadline, you know? Yeah, there's always been a deadline and, like, a goal and, like, a common interest, and it's went really well. So, yeah, we announced the EP before we even had a name, artwork, a full track listing, any of that, and people were like, dude, like, you're going to the studio now, and your release is in 2 weeks? We're like, yeah, dude. Don't worry about it. So,
and we did it all in 4 days, essentially.
Yeah, recorded the whole album in five days. The release is in 1 week. Less than 1 week. 6 days it comes out. We still don't have the final mix. Yeah. We get that tonight. It's been it's fun. And it's, and honestly, it's yielded positive results, so we're stoked on it.
Yeah. Was it Indiana you guys recorded? Or
Ohio.
Ohio.
Yeah, up in Columbus at
Capitol House
Studios with Nick Ingram.
Very cool.
That was awesome. That was a really cool experience. Yeah. It was a really cool place.
I imagine that's got to be, you know, let alone recording and doing all this, but the time, you know, all you guys together, you know, getting to hang out and
imagine a lot of peeing on the side of a metal shack.
There was a lot of that.
It
was a good bonding experience. As a band, because
we would pee together. In the dirt.
We crossed swords.
We didn't have a lot of time to like really relax and to like party we partied and we didn't have time to relax.
No, we partied.
We partied.
And Tyler yelled at it.
Oh, okay. I partied until 1 and then I couldn't party anymore. I tracked vocals for 5 songs in 3 days and I don't even know how to sing. So like legit, like that is like, I mean, that's a task on its own. But I mean, we basically were in the studio. We drank, like, I don't know, 200 beers.
A whole lot of Yingling and a lot of Bush.
Natty, no Bush.
Yeah. No, I had Bush.
But a lot of Natty, because Natty up there is $13 for a 30-pack. Couldn't turn that away.
Yeah, we watched the entire Lethal Weapon series as we tracked.
And the Emoji Movie.
Yeah. And Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2.
We watched all of them. We watched all of the Chihuahua movies. I didn't even know there was multiple. It was crazy. It was fun. It was good. We just got in the room and knocked it all out and drank a bunch. And then, I think we have a good record. But
we've all had,
I don't know yet.
We've all had our own recording experiences, like with the different bands that we've come from. And for me, this was the first time that I was, like, in a room with the entire band for, like, a week, just like knocking out this album. I had such a blast, and I think it was a really cool thing to do.
What is that saying? You need pressure to make diamonds, you know, like you need from cold or pressure on cold makes diamonds. I don't know, it works because like there were some things that like I've been working on here for weeks vocally, like you know, getting drunk in my pajama pants in my living room, walking around, and like. Not figuring anything out, and then we were there, and I'm just like stoked on the environment, ready to get things done, and we wrapped up like you know, me and Chad like stayed up late the second to last night, last night,
and so second, the first two nights we were there, like the first night I partied, we partied, and that was it. But then like towards the end of the stay that we were there, Tyler was partying. And I was not, and it's like the second to last night we're there, and he's stoked, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna finish these lyrics. And so it was like, we were talking about it the other day, the way that we finished the lyrics and the melodies to the song is the exact same way that Charlie and Dennis write music in It's Always Sunny.
When they write Day Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was us the night before we left.
He's all like... He's like kind of fucked up. He's like, he was writing down his lyrics, but he wasn't finishing writing his letters. Yeah. So like, I had a pen and I was like writing them in for him.
The next day too, like I'd be like, Chad, this doesn't make sense, and you're like, I told you it didn't, and I didn't finish that. Yeah. So like, we couldn't remember full ideas. Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean,
we're so stoked on what came out, and we had so much fun doing it. Like, it was great, just like. we slept and lived in a studio.
Right.
So we were just in this environment the entire time, and we just, like, knocked these songs out, and, like, we finished the lyrics and the melodies, and we took a shot of Nick's bourbon, like, to celebrate.
Yeah.
It was
good. It was a good time. Yeah. The pictures are funny, too, because it's like, I can tell in my eyes that I'm fucking wasted, dude. Like, I'm just, like, not remembering anything. I'm like, Jesus. Yeah, no, it was great, though. And, I mean, like I said, pressure. There was a lot of pressure, but for the most part, we got it done. And I think we're going to have a record time for record release.
Yeah.
And the end product is tight. It's pretty cool. But, I will add that even though I didn't party the first night, I couldn't. But I will say, arguably, Crestwood sounds the best vocally because I did it first with no alcohol in my throat. Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some character to the other songs, and I'm like barely squeezing out the notes.
Yeah.
But, like, Crestwood sounds the cleanest because I recorded it first, like, not hungover.
Yeah.
Not wasted.
Those. Dude, this album's going to be so sick.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
So now that you've gone through that whole process, and like I said, we're gearing up for the release this week and everything. I mean, would you guys do that again, or would you better prepare for the next one?
Oh, nah, I'll do it again.
Do it again
the same fucking way.
Do it again with more time.
Right.
I want more time, but nah. I mean, we're also talking about, like, you know, the idea of keeping content coming. Like doing another EP immediately, or doing another. Or doing a full length, or doing like a couple of songs. Like, I mean, a little bit more time to party would be tight. It would be cool. And if we record again, not if, when we record again, should hopefully not be. It'll be done with with shitty weather. That's a big part too. It's like we went up, it was rainy and cold the first couple of days, and then it kind of started to warm up. And now here we're getting warmer too. So, like, that kind of makes a big deal. At least vocally.
Yeah.
Like, if it's like 68 degrees, 72 degrees. You know, like, partially cloudy and, like, you know, that's ideal. Like, I'll just roll up and just fucking drink, like, literally 24 hours.
Not just waking up in the teens with, like, an allergen level over 100.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah.
Like,
the first day I couldn't even talk. So I'm surprised I even got through it the way that I did, honestly. And there's parts now where I look back on it, or when because we have rough mixes and I sing along to it. I was singing along to it earlier when I was cleaning. And I was like, man, I'm so much of a better singer right now. Fuck me. Like, why couldn't I do it better then? But people dig the character. Having to choke up a little bit to reach that note.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, or, like, maybe it being a little bit rougher on the... I don't know.
Or it's just something fun. It's something fun for us to look at, just to listen to and be like, wow, we did that fast. Yeah. Like,
right.
Well, you always want to be better live anyways, too. Like, if someone told me I'm a better live singer than I am in the studio, I would take that as a massive compliment. But I mean, part of the charm of, like, bands like Taking Back Sunday and, like, Wonder Years, early Wonder Years,
yeah.
I mean, Wonder Years in general, Story So Far, 4 Years Strong, is that they do these things that you know they really can't do, and they, like, they push themselves to, like, a whole other level, and, like, maybe when they were recording it, they were, like, just learning the melody, just learning the note, but, like, that one take just kind of, like, clicks. I think we got a lot of that. I mean,
yeah,
I think we do have definitely. A lot where, like, I could probably sing it better right now if I tried, but, like... Fuck it, we did it.
Wasn't the end of Never Better like that Dayman style writing?
Yeah,
dude, and that's like hands down the catchiest part of the entire fucking EP.
Yeah.
Like, I guarantee you there's gonna be at least two tattoos of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's great. I mean, it was funny, in that scene at Dayman's when Dennis goes, "For everyone."
Yeah.
It's like, I was like, fuck, dude, that's so Chad. It's not even funny how Chad is. And meanwhile, Charlie's all fucking huffing pain. I wasn't huffing pain. But, like, I'm like, he's like, oh, like, cracked out, like, in the corner, like, writing lyrics. And he's just like, all right, man, like, what do you think of this?
Like, we have photos of this. Like, we'll definitely have to post them. But Tyler's surrounded by, like, natty cans. And he's just got, like... literally a mess of papers, like, in front of him, and I'm next to him with a guitar, and he's like, da da da, and I'm next to him, like, ah.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yes,
that was
no, yes, that's awesome,
there.
And he's just like scratching out, like, we're like, no, we're like this.
Yeah, I was in the sound room at the time partying, and I came in and saw them sitting there like that, and I was like, we had our buddy Jack with us taking pictures, and I was like, Jack, you need to take pictures of them right now because they look insane.
And the pictures are like a combination of the It's Always Sunny episode and like the pictures that show up at the end of the Hangover.
Yeah,
because like I said, my eyes are like rolled back and Chad's eyes are glazed over. He's not even that drunk, but he's like, you know, he's like,
I'm just dealing with someone really drunk.
that and you're like 2.5 beers away from Bo Stat.
Yeah.
But like you're not quite there. So yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was a good experience. If I could go back and do it again for this EP, I wouldn't change anything, but for the next one, I'd like 2 more days to party.
Yeah.
Maybe not more time in the studio, but just to go like hang out in Columbus and kick it, because like Nick has been one of like my good friends that I've met through the music industry. I mean, shit, he recorded Toss's first record in 2012, so I've known him for 6 years. Fuck. Yeah, I've known
him for half a decade.
I've known him for a while, and when I met him, he was straight edge. So fuck, he was so funny because like we would party so hard, we almost burned his studio to the ground, his house to the ground. And he was like, "It's cool." He's like pouring shots. He was the same guy as he is now, but he just didn't drink. And now he's like
sophisticated.
Yeah, he's honestly he's more controlled now drinking than he was when he was straight edge, but. It's cool to, like, go back and be able to, like, cheers them and have a drink. Like, I don't drink bourbon. I don't really drink a lot of whiskeys. I'm just a beer guy for the most part. But I was, like, there was a couple times I was like, you know what? I'll fucking have a scotch on the rocks. Like, I'm like, this sucks, but, like, I'm doing it because I'm hanging with my friend. Like, you know? So, it was cool. It was cool. But I wanted more time to kick it with him and more time, you know, to hang out.
Yeah.
And that would be tight.
We're going to do it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we do have... Easy Win. I guess this will be the first single from the EP. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you guys just released the lyric video to go with it on Facebook and YouTube and all that. So check out the lyric video and sing along with everything on Saturday night. But let's talk about this tune. You guys, anything you guys care to add about this one?
This sucks. This is a dog shit EP. This is a dog shit song. The only good thing about it is the fucking solo. The solo is tight.
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
And I like the drums that dot, 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 dot during the solo.
Yeah.
That's it. Everything else you do is just garbage, though.
Yeah, everything else,
trash cans and trash bags.
Yeah, dude. No, it's like the Killers drummer, man. Yeah. It's fucking playing on paper plates and pots and pans.
That's
and
you.
Shit.
That's you, dude. Yeah.
The song was the last song I recorded vocally.
Sounds like it.
It does. That's my point. That's my point. Like, I sound like I smoke like 3 packs of cigarettes a day because I recorded, like I said, 3 songs.
It's got that Lindsay,
5 songs
that
in 3
Lindsay
days.
That Lindsay Lohan vocals.
Yeah.
See, you have got a menthol.
But it's a fun song, and it's a little bit more of a throwback sound that we wanted to go for. I feel like we kind of like captured the more of the early 2000s emo sound that we wanted to go for.
What was it? How did I describe it? Picturing like the Used butt fucking the Wonder Years in a porta potty outside of a Bonnaroo.
Yeah. I can agree with that. And I think even parts of it, even including like the drums and the riff and stuff kind of sound almost Coheed-ish.
Yeah,
I mean, the vocals don't, unless you're Chad.
Yeah, except for my vocals.
Except for his vocals. Here's a song, sing the words if you know it. It was written half drunk, I should know cause I wrote it. I'm just being honest. This time next year we're listen up, I've got a lot to say and I won't repeat myself. You could run your But yeah, no, it's more of a throwback sound. The video we did in one take. We just...
Yeah, while we were partying, we're like, hey, we should... Again, as the theme of the band has been, it's like, hey, we should do a lyric video for this. We're like, yeah. Let's do it right now. Like, the song wasn't even finished. And we're like we played the drum track to the song. When we filmed the video. Like, the song wasn't even done when we did the video. But we're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's order pizza. I mean, we got a beer.
You just have to keep moving forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've just been, like, having fun. And I think all of the different bands that we come from, it's like the mentality was, no, I'm going to write something new. I'm going to write something different. But for this one, it's like, this kind of has this throwback sound. But really, we're just writing music that's fun for us. It's like, we're not trying to flip the script on what a song should be. It's like, no, let's just write an awesome song, something that we love. And
real simple, like, real simple, structured and repetitive, which is cool.
And I've been listening to the song my entire, like, work commute since we got it back. I'm just like, yep, back to back.
Nick killed the mix, and the song sounds great.
And the bass sounds amazing in it. After the first chorus, you just hear it.
It me. It me, dog.
You just hear it so good after that first chorus. I always listen to that part.
And what's funny is, lyrically, it was kind of like a half-cooked, half-baked idea because, like, that was the last song. No, second to last song. And I was, like, kind of, like, because we've written a lot of songs now as a band, which is really weird to say because this band just started not even a year ago. But, yeah, I was kind of, like, running out of content in my head a little bit because, like, the whole pop-punk lyrical thing is kind of something new for me. So I was like, dude, I was like, all these bands with these major records, like, have songs about them, like, it's, like, straight hip-hop mentality where they're like, yo, dude, we blew up. Like, we're going to blow. We're going to blow up. Like, you don't even know it yet, but it's going to happen. And like, all these bands, like, A Day to Remember, All Time Low, I don't even know... A fudge ton, like, literally so many bands do this, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna write a song just being, like, cocky. So I got really drunk because I'm literally my most cocky when I'm wasted, and I wrote it. It's really simple, but I mean, it's, you know, it's fitting because, you know, people are always gonna shit talk and put people down for popularity and good opportunities. You know, it's gonna happen no matter what. Like, you can be the nicest guy in the world with the most honest music and the most straightforward message, but if you got something good going for you, someone's going to shit-talk you. So, song's kind of about, like, fuck those people. You guys can just go ahead and stay in your basements on your keyboards, and we're just going to keep, you know, rising to the top.
Just keep having fun, dude.
I think it's going to be fun to hear the crowd singing along, singing Asshole, the chorus. Like,
I was dying. I was like, this is the chorus lyric. I'm like, when I was doing the harmony, like, Devin, he was snapping me doing the harmonies, and I was like singing like this really high part, and I'm just rewatching it, and I'm like, asshole! I'm like, fuck.
And I'm an asshole! Yeah. So it's like such a funny note.
But I mean, it's just, it's fun.
Sure.
It, like,
well, dude, one of the catchiest choruses of all time is Bitch by, what, Meredith Brooks? You remember that?
Yeah.
That's so catchy.
The other day.
But you know what's fucked up, though, is that song would be on the radio, but I don't think Asshole can make the radio, but Bitch can.
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking about that. I'm like, I'm not sure if that's radio friendly.
I could have said Jackass. No, Jackass can make it, but Asshole can't make it.
No, you guys.
That's fucked up.
You can say ass, but you can't say asshole.
Can, like, you
bitch,
say...
You know, because Bitch is, like, talking about a dog. Ass is talking about, like, a donkey. But asshole is literally, like, where I put my dick.
Can we just get on board with the fact that words are words and, like, it's garbage? But whatever. I mean, didn't do this. There's one thing that I wanted to make crystal clear is, like, we do, like, this band is more susceptible than the bands that we were in prior. Like, I will say it's more...
Adam's done for the
I will say this band's got more of a, like, a quote-unquote radio-friendly sound, but I said from the very beginning that, like, you know, like, I don't want to ever sacrifice content, quality, any of that, decisions to make it based off of, like, trying to please anybody, because you're just not going to get anywhere. Because, like, honestly, the biggest bands in the radio were the bands that, like, refused to fall to that kind of, like, conformity. Like, I mean, do you think Rage Against the Machine gave a flying fuck, like, what they were saying? Like, no, they didn't. I mean, they had to, like, get those radio cuts, but I'm sure they were mad. I'm sure they were,
he was very mad.
Yeah, I mean, he's always mad.
He said, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
There you go. There it is. And I remember hearing when Beartooth got signed to fucking
Red Bull.
I remember hearing about that because Red Bull only had like fucking AWOL Nation and like these like top 40 bands, and I was like, well, where do you fit in? You know, and Caleb told me, I was really nervous. He's like, but they told me to relax and they want radio to come to me. Like, they don't want me to go to radio because when you go to radio, you try too hard and people can pick that up. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of applied that to what I do musically. And so, yeah, I mean, if I'm going to say asshole and it's a good melody and it's a good note and it sounds fucking good, then fuck it, you know? So.
I mentioned the lyric video, and I did find it pretty funny that Adam was not there.
Yeah, yeah.
So was Adam. Yeah. Well, he had the gathering of juggalos to attend. Yeah. So he didn't.
Yeah.
No, and honestly, here's the thing. Is like, communication isn't as strong as it can be in this band because we are progressively moving forward at any given point.
Faster than we can catch up with ourselves. Pooping. Yeah.
Oh, I got
pissed. Yeah.
Devin pooping.
Yeah, so yeah, Adam came and he laid out the drums.
I was only there for like 3 days, so
I mean, we were only there for 5, so it's like it was so quick. We didn't have any and we didn't have any chance, and it wasn't a music video. We would never do a music video without all the members present except for maybe Coil. But
rest in peace.
We just did it to be fun, and honestly now I think we're brewing up something different. To where we might tie that in as being a regular, like somewhat of a regular thing. Yeah. We have some ideas we're bouncing back because we're dropping a single next Friday with a guest vocalist that we're not announcing yet because it's a guest vocal, it's a surprise guest. And so we've been talking about obviously doing a very similar thing, you know, with what we do with Adam. And I mean, we just got to keep pushing forward, you know, no disrespect to anybody or anything. But
yeah.
Well, I take it as major disrespect. Yeah. Fuck you guys.
Major disrespect.
I thought it was funny that like you guys were like feeding them pizza through the laptop and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was trying to include.
I saw that.
Yeah, we chimed in.
Yeah, while we were filming that, Adam was at a Blues game, so yeah. he can try to pretend.
I did chime in. I was like, fuck Adam, dude, he's at a Blues game right now.
Hang on. So I
forgot we haven't thrown this out there.
Yeah, yet. No. So yeah, no. I had to head back. All right, no fault of my own. All right, but I'm already fucking back, and I have tickets to the game. Am I just supposed to be like...
You might as well.
And, I mean, like, should I just not go just because,
I mean, here's the thing, though. We're already in the studio. We have a guy with a really nice camera that does great work.
Should I throw the tickets in the fucking shredder? Just be like, pull one out for the homies?
Should we just pull Jack around the building and just butt fuck him in his throat?
I mean, it's close to the same thing, but...
It's all good. It happened, and honestly, I think Adam's more... I pay more attention to Adam than I do anyone else because you look at his fucking mug. He looks like Bruce Almighty, like going on with the clouds behind him and shit.
Who made that?
Coil. He said he said you already knew it. He pulled it off his Facebook. He goes, or did he pull it off someone weird?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I got something. And we were talking about the idea. He goes, I got the perfect idea. You guys just, you can rest easy.
I'm like, I've got a picture of Adam. Trust me.
Like, well, we all do. But he's like, no, I got the picture, you know.
He's a weird dude.
Well, you guys, you mentioned the Blues. You guys, a while back, won that Twitter competition and got to play Scott Trade Center.
Yeah, it was close. We almost lost out to Blind Velvet.
Is it Blind or Blue?
Blind Velvet. Yeah.
Blue Velvet. Oh, that's the... I don't even know what that is.
So...
I don't know.
I think that's Elvis.
Elvis, yeah, Elvis, yeah. Elvis.
Yeah, originally after we won that competition, like, and after we played at Skytrade, we were just like, we should just break up now. Like,
yeah, we've peaked.
We played to a sold out stadium. Like, where do we go from here?
But I mean, we only played
third shows. Third show, we played in front of 19,000 people.
Yeah.
And, like, legit, like, for, I mean, there, I mean, we have like, three, well, we're all hockey fans for the most part. We enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
But we have two really diehards and three that are, like, you know,
big
fans.
Yeah.
So, for me, you know, I've done some stuff. Like, that's cool. Like, whatever. But, like, for me, for that to be the third show ever for this new project that I'm involved with, like, that was, like, I was cheesing. I'm still cheesing. I'm still pumped. I bring it up every chance.
Was it the third? Yeah.
Third, yeah.
That wasn't the third.
It was.
It was the second, dude.
It was the second. No, we played FUBAR.
Oh, yeah.
We forget about that one.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was the third show ever, which I'll take. That's fine.
Yeah. The funniest thing is the level that they had. So they just got, like, the new Jumbotron.
Yeah.
Thing's huge. And the level that we were at, the Jumbotron, was at our eye level. So, like, the entire time...
At each other.
The entire time I'm playing, it was like I was looking in a mirror, and I'm just like, oh my god, that's me. Just, like, looking straight forward at this Jumbotron. I'm like, oh man.
Unreal experience. I always judge, like, your experiences... Like, musically, like, being in a band on what the outside of the world would think, right? Like, okay, so, being in a band and going on tour, playing in front of, like, nobody a night, making no money, making $5 a day, and, like, you know, being piss poor and peeing in bottles and fucking farting in a van, like, it's disgusting, and it's really not glamorous. But, like, the people that I went to high school with, like, they're like, dude, I heard you went on that, like, 12-day tour, it's fucking nuts, dude. Like, fucking dude, crazy, dude. What was that nut? What was that like? What were you about, man? I'm like,
McChickens every day,
dog. And I'm like, McChickens and peeing about. I don't tell them. I'm like, yeah, dude, it was pretty fucking sick, dude. I'm like, dude, to be honest, dude, it was fucking massive, dude. Like, but you know, but anyways, the way that I look at judging where you are musically, because a lot of the music scene, especially, is very judgmental.
Yeah.
Is what people would think of you from your past, like in your high school years or your family that are completely clueless on the scene. And to hear my mom, like, my mom was crying watching us play a blues game, you know, like, legit, like, and, like, my mom will just randomly bring, I'll be, like, cooking dinner at her house, and she'll just be like, you know, I'm so proud of you. I'm like, God, dude, that means so fucking much. You know, it's like, because to them, it's, like, so much bigger to us, because we're just like, oh, we got lucky, we won a vote, we pushed to our friends, we fucking lost sleep. I mean, it was a lot of work, but we did feel like a little bit of it was just like kind of like we got lucky, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah.
But to other people, they're like, dude, that's not luck. That's just opportunity, and it's a fucking phenomenal opportunity. And I'm like, goddamn right it is. You just need that reminder of how amazing that is, that you're playing in front of literally like fucking 19,000 people.
An entire stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and they would be like, and now, Hard Loss! And everyone just goes...
Yeah, then
the spotlight just goes... Moves from the ring straight to us. You're like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, we had that false start or whatever because of the intern or whatever he was covering for the actual sound guy. The first time he just said play and nothing happened. It wasn't that glamorous. But then the second time...
It was like...
He goes, oh, wait. And we stopped like a minute into the song. And he's like... No, do that again. And then they go, no, Hard Loss. And then the lights all came at us and we're like, oh shit, it's real now.
Yeah.
And then the TV crews like came in front and I was like,
right
oh,
in
shit.
My face.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, like, here oh, we go. Fuck. Here we go.
Yeah, it was, I mean, unreal experience. Like, would death do again?
I mean, I'm open. I'm open to playing a Scott
Turner. And I'll just add too that was the biggest win. Ironically, of the entire season so far with the Blues is 8-3.
That was the most violent game of hockey
Tarasenko fought
that I've ever seen. Like, so we're watching the game from the stage. Like, we're on this high from like playing this song like in front of all these people, and then it goes back to the hockey game. We're just like, oh my god, this is an amazing game too. It's like, this is such a great night. This is cool.
Tarasenko's on the ice. He's like, I don't know what this is. It's this poke rock. It pisses me off. He just headbutts a guy and stabs him with a skate. And he's like, fuck, dude. We just got him amped. Like, because, I mean, like, the dude never fights. And they won, like I said, 8-2.
8-2. Our most fragile dude on the ice.
Stabbing people.
Yeah, got.
Okay, but it was like.
He's moshing on the ice, flipping out.
They didn't score, though, like, that entire game until, like, the very end. So we're just watching these points rack up on our side, nothing on...
I'm gonna be really. I didn't know. I just blacked out. No, I don't even remember watching.
No,
it was crazy.
No, I remember at the fucking end going to get another beer, and I just kept hearing the horn going off. It's like, fuck, they're dead. They're dead already. Stop.
It was a hard loss.
Yeah, dude.
It was an easy win, though. I mean, that's literally an easy win.
I mean, I also want to go on the record saying that every time we played a Blues game, they've won. So
yeah, that's true.
It's good. Good.
Ask us back.
It's good. So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you guys also made the most of it, recorded a music video while we were there also, mm-hmm. Your Gloves Off, right?
Yeah, we did for Gloves Off.
Yeah, which is also available, so check that out. It looks awesome. I mean, like, you know.
And we won the competition, and we say, hey, let's write a song for the Blues.
Yeah, we wrote a song. We wrote a song for it, so we. That's also on YouTube. You can, I almost fell back. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. So we wrote a song and recorded it like in like a week.
Yeah, we're like, we'll have something to play the Blues game now.
Hey, like, that, and that goes into like I said, everything so far is just like I was like I said, I brought up the idea and I'm thinking these people are gonna like my band's gonna shoot it down and I'm just gonna be like whatever. I wish we would have done that. Cross my arms and then put it in the chat. And everyone's like down and I you know we just set it up and recorded it. We set up the recording date before we even had the song.
Yeah, well we go so we had a band practice like scheduled and then we're like. Yeah, we should write this blues song, and I just take my bass, and I'm just like, I was like, does that work for a song? They're like, yeah. And then I was like, well, what about this second part, too? And they're like, yeah, we could totally do that. And we're like, all right, let's make a song right now. And like 5 minutes later, we're like, well, we've got the blues song. Let's go record it. Like,
that's still probably like one of my favorite songs we have. Dude, it's so fucking simple, but it's so fucking catchy.
It's just fun.
Yeah, it's just, and that's just it. That goes
to
show you.
It was made to be more of like an anthem.
Yeah, so. It goes to show you that like some of the best songs you could write, like a lot of people like overthink a lot of shit. It doesn't have to be like that. You can just do some simple, like it's literally two parts just alternating back to back over and
it's
over
like,
again.
Oh, that's so simple. It's like, and, yeah, but it feels yeah. Right. It's so fun. And like, I think that's pretty much been the theme of the band. Is like, it's fun.
I will always remember this year as the one that they tore Crestwood Mall to the ground. And if you want me to leave, I guess you'll just have to kick us out. You can't kick us out. Was the last part of my youth that was still a setting. This one was lost in my head. First kiss, my first record, my first kickflip. I swear I landed.
some of the best songs are just two parts. To go back into that, like, fucking Be Quiet and Drive by Deftones is literally, like the same two parts over and over again for, like, 3.5 minutes. It's fucking awesome. Or yeah. Torn by Natalie Imbruglia.
No, even
I was bringing that up, too. It's, like, the same, like, chord progression the entire song. It's beautiful.
Even better, I Want You to Want Me, Cheap Trick. That song is... There's only one verse, there's one chorus, and there's, like, the pre-chorus. Oh. And they just switch up the order throughout the entire song, and I'm like, this is amazing! But it's so simple.
Little known fact about that, too, is they wrote that as a B-side, as a joke, and it got popular overseas. So they went over to Japan, and that's why the version that you hear all the time is the live version.
Yeah.
Because that's the real recorded version, and they did that in Japan.
That's so sick.
Another two-part song is... Is There a Ghost by, what's that band? Band of Horses? That band, it's, like, literally two parts over and over again. And it's, like, I feel stupid, like, hearing it and loving it because I'm, like, they're literally singing the same melody over and over again.
So that's what's cool about our blues song, Overtime Anthem. It's just two parts.
What the fuck is it? Fucking Brain Stew. And that made the Godzilla soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't fucking bad.
Brain Stew.
They peaked.
Green Day.
Green Day peaked.
And Adam goes, peaked with the Godzilla soundtrack.
Dude, I mean, that's so fucking tight.
Unpopular opinion, but that Puff Daddy rendition of like come what is it?
Me? Was it Come With Me?
Come With Me, but what is it? Is it a Pink Floyd song or Led Zeppelin?
Yeah, it's like it's Kashmir, isn't it?
By
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Puff Daddy's version is way better.
Yeah.
It's like, come with me. Dude, shit's heavy as fuck. I don't like any of those bands, though, so... I like Puff Daddy, though. Don't act like Bad Boy for Life ain't gonna pump you up.
No, dude, right that's one of my ringtones. Like, I got I'm about
we
it.
Ain't
I'm all
go
about
it. With
yeah,
no
I got,
with.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, dude, I love it.
I'm all about the Benjamins, baby.
Oh, dude, that's heavy. Dude, Mace was the hardest rapper in the game. And then now he's a preacher. He's legit a preacher.
Those are the hardest and most powerful rhymes to spit, though.
He took his money that he made from
what's
his...
What's that one preacher? He's like, the devil's a motherfucking liar. Dude, you know, talk about the
no.
whole... He's like missing like 5 teeth and all kinds of shit.
No, Google it though.
That's Adam's local priest.
Yeah. No, Mace took the money that he made from his platinum selling album. He probably did too, I'm sure. But he took all the money that he made from that and he invested in a church.
Yeah.
He opened a church and became like a pastor or something like that.
Tax free, smart.
Yeah, there's Harlem World and Double Up. He did two records.
Yeah, two records. They're probably both platinum too. Mace is tight.
Let's talk about this party again Saturday, March 10th. You guys are bringing along a bunch of your friends. We got Scouts Honor for the City and Man the Helm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild night, man.
I don't know if I'd say any of them are our friends.
Oh, okay. Well, they're
no, I'm just kidding. No, this is perfect. Man the Helm was up against us for the Blues game, and they were so cool about everything, and we became buddies through that. So we were like, I remember Coyle was like, well, you know, when we do the album release, like, we should, you know, get Man the Helm on there.
Is that your Coil?
Yeah. And I was like, all right. I mean, that makes sense.
We've never
met them in real life, have we?
I don't think
anyone has.
In the blues competition.
I mean, I'm sure somebody at some point has.
Yeah, one,
they don't exist, bro.
Yeah. One of the bands in the competition was not being tight. And the other band,
Blue Velvet,
that was like on our side, that was like, you know, they're competing with us, and we're just like, what is this band doing? It was Man the Helm. Man the Helm's like, yeah, we found out about these guys, and we're like, you guys are cool. And it's like, you guys have a great following. Like, you guys seem like cool dudes. So
yeah, they directed their fan base towards us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were
they sacrificed themselves. It was like, Mel Gibson's the Patriot.
Yeah.
The priest dies. But he like throws us.
They were like, we're not gonna win. So like, kind of help these guys.
Right.
And you don't like you legit don't see that like anymore, especially in the St. Louis music scene. I have no problem saying that. Is like, people don't really help each other out like they used to, which is why we even had to dig a little bit to have our direct support, because we were all talking and Devin was like, dude, we should have Scouts on our play, and I'm like, they ain't gonna fucking play.
Because they're
all clowns. They're not a band. They broke up. Actually, Kyle Kyle joined Tear Out the Heart. He plays bass and sings. And I mean, that they just haven't been a band. Like, I don't even think they're even really like practicing, to be honest with you. And I asked them, and they're like, "Yeah, dude, sure." And it's just like a perfect, you know, bromance that, like, if they were a band, we could be playing shows with them, but they're not. So, like, this is cool that they're going, you know, and doing
to do
this,
that for us,
to do this other thing for us. Yeah, it's perfect, because I don't really know any. I mean, there was even talks at one point. I brought it up to these guys. I'm like, I want two bands. I was like, I want us and one other band. They're like, ah.
We're like, nah. We should, let's make it a party.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about that, but it's just, it's hard to find bands that are working hard that, like, you respect what they do and, like, you're into what they do. I mean, not that St. Louis doesn't have a lot of good bands, but it's very cliquey. I know you know that. You interview hundreds of bands, and it's really hard to find a mixed match. Bill.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's easy for us to throw For the City on there too.
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone's had their interactions with those dudes.
Well, those guys are fucking, like, they're such good dudes, and they've been around for a while too. Like, I know that, like, you know, Dustin and Kevin have been around in the scene for a long time and supportive of everything that I've done thus far. And Wiley's a wily individual. What a perfect name.
Yeah.
I think the first time I've kissed anyone other than my wife was him in years.
Your first kiss.
He's a good dude. He's a good dude, and it was like a no-brainer. I asked him because I didn't... I mean, I asked him, like, kind of, like, chill, like, thinking he wouldn't come back immediately because they just played the Toth Christmas show. And he was like, yeah, dude, fuck yeah, I'm down. And before we even knew the date, he was like, I'm doing it.
All right. And they also played a sold-out Story of the Year show. So
yeah.
That was a... Yeah,
and good for them too, because they fucking deserve it.
Yeah, they're great dudes. Yeah.
They're really nice guys.
And their Panic record, if you haven't got that, check that out. It's awesome. It's a great album. So,
wasn't that
they did that with Dan?
Yeah, Dan produced.
Give me another beer, though.
You got another show a little later after that. You guys are playing April 28th over at the Firebird. And that's the part of the new Lingo release party.
Yeah.
With Ashland. And so that's going to be another crazy night.
That's going to be a great show.
Banger.
So,
I thought you said bang her. Like, what the fuck?
We're just out to have a good time. Yeah. We're just
that show is stacked.
Yeah.
For sure. It is, like, when it comes to local bands, I think that's the most eclectic, like, lineup.
We got Order of the Day toilet paper.
Get the fudge out of here. I like it. You gotta be joking.
Get out of my ass at once.
I love that lineup. It's great. And like I said, we were talking before we recorded this, like, I've known Joe and those guys for a really long time. And I think it's awesome they're still doing it. It sounds good. They recorded with Nick too. And I remember being like, how we recorded with Nick, how it all went about was, originally, the last Scouts Honor EP, I was kind of managing him a little bit, and I said, you should go record with Nick Ingram. I told Kyle and Bobby that they should record with Nick, and they were like, totally. And then it went in one ear and out the other, they didn't do it, because they couldn't travel. They didn't want to travel, they wouldn't do local. And I was like, fuck you, dude. Like, fine, I'll start a pop-punk band or go record Nick. And that's when this kind of started. And when we were talking about who we were going to record with, honestly, I think we were all kind of on the fence on how serious this band was going to be, like, to a certain extent. Like, what were we going to do? How much money and time we were going to put into this? And I saw New Lingo was recording with Nick, and I was like, that's not fucking fair. I was like, that's fucked up, because that was my idea.
He's like, that's my friend.
That's my friend. That's my idea. Like, you know, and so I brought it up to these dudes, and once again, it was an idea where people were just like, yeah. Like, I mean, it wasn't much of an argument, much of, like, anything, and we just did it, and it was awesome. So, yeah, it's cool to celebrate our album release and then go celebrate theirs.
Yeah, man, very cool. So that'd be April 28th, the Firebird New Lingo EP release party with Ashland, Hard Loss, Steeples, Man the Helm, and Cold Rooms. And tickets available at firebirdstl.com. That's fun, man. But you can get involved. You can get with these guys on Facebook. You guys, Hard Loss on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, right?
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram is Hard Loss STL.
Okay.
Hard Loss STL.
But you kind of mentioned, I thought it was interesting, you were talking about how serious and everything this band was going to be. Is that kind of something, I mean, do you guys want to hit the road or do anything like that? Or is this...
John, I think we're going to break up after
that. Yeah, that's it, right?
We peaked.
We peaked before we...
Yeah, no, we're going to do some stuff. We're going to do stuff that makes sense.
We're going to try to hit the Godzilla 2 soundtrack. Right. And then after that...
Godzilla 2? It just goes... Dude, with Matthew Broderick and Pop Daddy on the soundtrack and everything.
Comes out.
Yeah, no, we're going to do some stuff that makes sense.
Godzilla 2.
They are doing... It's not Godzilla, but Rampage.
Yeah,
looks like a little bit Godzilla like.
I still play.
I like the fuck that, like, if they're ever like running low on an actor, it's like, hey, call the Rock.
Cut the Rock. Yeah. And Kevin Hart. Yeah. He's like a package deal. Yeah. They're like, dude, we get Rock for $20 million and Kevin Hart for 3.5. We're down. Yeah. Like, throw him in there. We're gonna do shit that makes sense.
Sure.
And it's been so much fun, and it's just been casual, but like. I mean, it's kind of gotten like a semi-violent shove into less casual to where we've been applying more of ourselves, but ultimately, like, it's always been fun, and when it stops being fun, then we won't push ourselves.
And you know it's fun? Traveling and playing shows, to an extent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Depending on how hard we push ourselves, but I think if we're trying to keep it in the, just our, what we deem as having fun, like... You know, there's no reason why we won't do, like, you know, some little mini tours, like,
yeah,
here and there, like, just...
I think that's why I'm so fucking on board for this, though, is that, like, this whole thing has just been, like, I can't remember, like, the last time I've, like, had this much fun, like, in a band, just, like, hanging out, doing shit, like, before, like, this band, like, Coil was the only person I was really, like, friends with out of these dudes, and then especially, like, then, like, me and Tyler got to be, like, pretty good friends, and, like, over this... recording trip, like, I got to be, like, I remember, like, one night, like, me, Chad, and Devin were just fucking hanging out, just getting shit-faced, and, like, we'd go out and smee for a little bit.
Yeah, being in the dark. I fidget spinnered Adam's nose ring.
Dude, and, like,
you were crawling on the floor.
Yeah,
dude. Army man crawling.
That was
Bo. That was me.
It turned into, like, this real big, like, bonding moment. It's, like, cool. Like, actually, like, I'm good friends with, like, all four other dudes in the band, and it's like, it's not just a couple randos that come over to my house every now and then anymore.
And you know what's really cool is, like, when, like, taking it back to the beginning, when we're, like, when we're songwriting, it's everyone respects everyone's input when we're, like, throwing these songs together and we're practicing, because I guess it's actually, like, quality input, you know? So it's like, it just makes it more fun. I'm like, oh my god. Adam starts playing a drum beat to whatever, like, one of us is playing. We're like, that's exactly the drum beat that we should be playing. He's like, yeah, dog, I got it. We're just like, there aren't bad experiences in what we're doing. And that's what's really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep running on that.
Yeah, I think there's, like, an Adam Sandler movie made about our experience here.
Grown-ups,
no,
too.
Click.
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 God, what a terrible movie.
What, dude, what?
No,
I cried when I saw that for the first
time.
You
love that movie?
I love it.
All right, so I take everything I said back.
No.
I'm out.
I think we can all agree that Jack and Jill was his, like, forte.
You know, Pixels is not all that bad, for real. It's a fun movie. I'm just saying. But yeah, I mean, dude, it's been easy. It's just been, for the most part, it's been easy. And then when it's not easy, we do a good job of not beating ourselves up over it. So yeah, it's been good. And honestly, it's very random. Like I said, I didn't know Chad. I was really only friends with Devin, and then I've been trying to convince Coil for a long time to start a band. I don't know why. I don't like Coil, and he's not even very good at his instrument. But, like, honestly, but, like, I'm just fucking with him. Coil's just, he always made it a point to find me and talk with me and, like, engage.
Coiling.
He's coiling.
Engaging you.
He was engaging the situation. And I talked to him about it, and I was like, I'd get drunk. I'm like, yeah, we should start a band. He's like, yeah, maybe. You know, and I was like, whatever. And then, you know, me and Devin would get drunk. We're like, yo, we should start, like, a band like The Ghost Inside. And he'd be like, yeah, maybe. And then, like, you know, then, like, I remember exactly. We talked about this at the Accountant. The first real time that me and Adam ever talked was like Adam showed up and he did what he always does and he just shrugs it off. And he goes, yeah, dude, Coil, shut the fuck up, dude. We're doing this. And Coil, I remember his face. He was like, we are? It's like, he was just like, really? He's like, well, what are we gonna do? Like, what are we gonna? And he goes, we'll worry about it. We're doing it though. We signed me and Coil up. That's what he said. And I was like, all right, cool, we're down. And then, you know, Devin was like, you know, I was like, Devin, you know, that's, well, actually, I think the four of us were gonna do the Taking Back Sunday thing.
Yeah. Do you know how this band started? Yeah.
Like, I don't.
So I'm at work, like, and I'm going on my lunch break, and Tyler posts on Facebook. I was only friends with Tyler on Facebook because Strikes Back played the first Floor Fest, and like that's how I was acquainted with Tyler. Like, I didn't even know the dude, and he posts, he's like, who wants to start a pop punk band?
And I commented,
and he's like, nah. And everyone's like, like, there's all these comments like, yeah, man, that'd be so cool, but I just commented, it's like, I'm well versed in Woes and Posse Jumps, and then he,
and
like,
he's very, that was so dead on.
Yeah, and then
too many Woes and too many Posse Jumps later.
And then he messages me like, hey dude, you should come to Count It, and I was like, okay, yeah, dude, let's do it. And then that I went to my first Count It, and there that was the last Count It at Ready Room, and we just start talking like, yeah, dude, like, we should do, like, a cover show or something. We're like, yeah, Taking Back Sunday would be so cool. And at the time, it was, like, it was Adam and Coil. We're talking to Tyler. And I only, like, kind of knew them because Strikes Back and played a couple shows with the former me. But, you know, at that point, like you were saying earlier, it's so, like, clicky. I was like, I mean, I'm new to the scene. I don't really know these dudes. I know people who come up to me and talk to me. But we're talking. And then all of a sudden, Devin comes up in the next Count It. And he's like, hey, man, I'm playing guitar and like this next Taking Back in this Taking Back Sunday show. I was like, who are you? He's like, I'm Tyler's friend. I was like, okay. He's like, are you learning these songs? He's like, I'm playing bass for the first time in so long. But
well, yeah. And Devin was there at that Count It too, because like what I'm saying is like, I would be like, Devin, you're doing this, and he'd be like, I don't know. And then like he was like, alright. And I brought Devin involved when we were talking about it, and yeah, I mean, it just went really well.
Then we practiced for this Taking Back Sunday cover set at Adam's house. And it was, dude, it was just so much fun. I was like,
also easy. Very easy.
Yeah. It's like, because it's like, you weren't holding anyone's hand. You're like, you're playing that wrong. You need to play it like this. It was just like, everyone was doing their own shit. Everyone was having fun. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'll be in a cover band. This will be so much fun. And we played the show at Cicero's.
And you showed up in that fucking hat.
Yeah. I looked everywhere for that.
Dude. Tyler went full on Adam Lazara.
I went full Lazara, dude, that's for sure. It was a good transition for me too, because I've been yelling in a band for like, in bands for 10 plus years. I haven't tried to sing in forever, other than
singing along to Taking Back Sunday in the car.
Exactly. So it was a really easy transition for me to be like, oh, I can sing. And then you get wasted and sing Taking Back Sunday, you're like, dude, I'm sick. You're like, I'm a fucking phenom singer, dude. And I was like, dude, I'm on top of this, dude. Let's start a band. And then we started a band. I'm like, oh, fuck, I have to write my own melodies again, and I have to sing them. And which, like I said, I'm rehearsed. Like, I've been rehearsed. Like, it's cool. But that was a good transition. It really is. Like,
it was great. It was just so much fucking fun. Like, that was such a great show. We were just, like, taking shots. And
yeah, like, as soon as we finished, and then, like, we were all kind of like, is this goodbye?
Yeah, we have this group chat that we had, like, you know,
we had it before.
Yeah, to schedule the show, and then we're just like,
and Adam was literally exactly Adam, which is hilarious because now we know Adam, so now we know he doesn't pay attention to group chat.
Yeah,
but back then he would disappear and then chime in, and both me and I didn't know him very well, and we're on our way to our first practice, and me and Devin drove together, and Devin goes, hey man, I've been meaning to tell you. We show up and this drummer ain't on point, I'm out. And literally word for word. And I said, yeah, he's kind of a dick, isn't he? He's like, he hasn't been paying attention at all, and like he chimes in like he's like God's gift to this band. Like, I was like, you're like, because he would just be like, yeah, I'm good. But yeah, I got this.
Nothing for a day.
Yeah, they were just immediately like, played it perfect all the way through. Yeah. And you're just like, where are you guys at?
So we owe Hard Loss being a band to Adam, because like, legit, like, if it wasn't like me, because I wasn't confident in my singing, it was the first show that Devin had played in like, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
And like, and Devin and I had both only been in metal bands from since forever.
I'm gonna need a cut of that, by the way. This is the next time they're being
just playing as your ringtone. Heart Lost wouldn't exist without Adam. Heart Lost would not exist without Adam.
Adam gave us his basement. Yeah.
But it was true, because it was like, if you weren't on point with what you were, like, we'd be like, this guy's kind of a dick, and like, I don't know what I'm doing. You don't. We don't know what we're doing. We're not going to do this.
But see, like, though, it's weird because, like, I didn't mean it as like being a dick.
Yeah, you're you.
I don't pay attention to group chats.
Right. No, it's okay, dude. Like, it's a. You don't mean to, but you're a dick.
No, it's fine. No, we love you for it. I like to think of it as being an asshole.
Okay.
Saying what you want.
No, there's a solid difference. All right.
No, I agree. Yeah, I'm an asshole.
Assholes like to give people shit. Dicks fuck people over.
It's the whole Team America speech.
Yeah.
That's just it. But sometimes dicks fuck assholes.
Yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
But no, it's not even that. Like, I fucking looked at my phone the other day, and it's like, you have 214 mixed texts. And I'm like...
And that's because we just like talking
to each other. And it's like, fuck me, dude. I literally took a nap and woke up and was like, I'm not reading that.
Who has time to nap?
But
drummers.
But yeah, ultimately, though, I think because we did Taking Back Sunday, we all knew the songs, we were all well-rehearsed, and we all were professional, I think everyone knew, like, thought highly of each other and knew that where we were, which is funny because we shouldn't, because ultimately we're all kind of mediocre. But, like, that was, like, kind of a big...
Nah, dude.
I feel like it was a confidence booster.
Oh no, it's
you know
it was first taking back Sunday practice to like it was like a Monday or something, and then all of a sudden like Adam pulls out like a fifth of Fireball, and I'm like it's a Monday, like what are you doing, dude? And they're just like passing around, like yeah, I got Jack Daniels too, and then it's like
at all of us like they're not alarmed.
Yeah, and then we practice again. I'm like, oh man, I just think these guys have a drinking problem. But, you know,
well, Quayle
like,
definitely does.
Yeah, but it's like, but they're just
dude, the fucking the gin and Gatorade,
dude. You know those people that you hear about the eyeball shots, where they do a shot of eye like gin or vodka on their eye? That's Quayle. Like I know that dude does that shit, dude. He like disappears in the bathroom and just does it right to his balls.
I've never heard of that.
Never heard of the eyeball shot?
No, that's
Google
awful.
It.
That's awful.
But anyways, yeah, it went smooth. But I'll tell you right now, if this band, like, without doing Taking Back Sunday, just got in a Granite City basement
and started to write
like, yeah, this would be a band, it wouldn't have worked. We would have left and we would have been like, yo,
fuck this
guitar drum. Player. Their drummer's got a drinking problem. Their drummer was gazing at me in a weird way.
Yeah.
The bass player wouldn't stop hopping around. Yeah. And like,
the bass player's having way too much fun.
He's on coke and he's all chirped out, dude. Balls.
It's like, why is he smiling? Like, why are you in the basement right now? Why are you having a good time?
Yeah, but it went well because of the Taking Back Sunday set. And
so I guess we just owe it to Taking Back Lazara.
Yeah, shout out to Taking Back Sunday. Thank you.
Best band ever.
I heard they're going to be there next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be.
They're going to check us out.
Lazara might have to show up and do some guest box.
Well, again, the record's out on Friday the 9th. Party on the Saturday the 10th. Grab tickets. Come out and see these guys and have a good time with us, man. It's gonna be a wild night.
Hard Loss, Never Better.
Yeah.
Never Better. March 9th. Ticketmaster. It's got the ticks.
Delmar Hall, we gotta
party. The Master's got the cocks.
We're gonna party, dude.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.
So long.
3, 2, 1. Hi. Sup. Try that again. Hi. Don't sup us, dude. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Hi.
What, two?
Hi.
No, if he's
sup.
Not... Sup.
We'll do sup.
Sup. All
right. No, just sup.
No,
sup. Sup.
Sup.
Sup.
Sup.
3, 2, 1.
Sup!
I don't know what we're doing.
What a dick.
3, 2, 1.
Where do we go?
Sup.
No, sup or high?
Sup. I want to... I like...
Hey, let's just do high.
Hi.
Three.
You should say hello there.
3, 2, 1.
Hi!
We're Hard Loss.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building.
go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.